If you've never heard our next guest before, boy, he's got a story for you. And it's probably not what you anticipated. When you hear Black Panther, certainly there's an image or whatever, a mindset that comes to most of America, which really isn't true. And Larry proves that. One of the early, not founding members, but certainly one of the very early members of the Black Panther Party, had a lot to do with what's going on. He is a writer, he's an author, he's a former teacher at the university level. He is an important person in the history of this country from the 60s on, and you'll see why. Larry Pinkney, welcome to the Power Hour.
Daniel, thank you. Thank you, my brother. It is always a distinct pleasure, and I want to just send out my greetings to the entire crew with Power Hour and to the Power Hour Nation, all of the listeners.
Well, very good. We're very happy to receive it. For people, they may not know who you are. They may have know a little bit about you. We get a lot of new listeners. Why don't you just give us a little Reader's Digest version? Who is Larry Pinkney?
Wow, I ask myself that every day. No, just kidding. my background, to be succinct, you're correct. I am a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, not to be confused with the so-called new Black Panthers. That's a joke, sick joke. I served in the party, the Black Panther Party, the original party, beginning in the 1960s, and was a target of the infamous COINTELPRO, that's counterintelligence program, which was a program to frame, to set up, to imprison, and to murder political activists in this country. And by the way, not only black political activists, but activists of all colors, including white political activists. I'm also a former university instructor of political science and international relations, and served in that capacity for some years. Let's see, what else? I mean, my life is a life of struggle. And I don't mean that negatively. It is what it is. And I'm very, very honored and frankly shocked sometimes that I'm still alive, to tell the truth. But I am, and I continue. And for what it's worth, I happen to be a strong supporter of our president, President Donald J. Trump. Background-wise, I also have had the opportunity to have in the past lived and worked in Europe and Africa, and so gleaned, if you will, or learned a number of things that generally the what I call the vomit stream U.S. media does not tell us about ourselves or about other people. So I guess what else should I bring out, Daniel? I don't know. I continue
well, that's
to
a lot right there. Well, let's go back to how you got involved. I think it was your brother. You went to California. You began to meet some people. You met Malcolm X at one time, and eventually you got involved with the Black Panther. Maybe how did you get involved directly with them?
Well, it's really kind of ironic to be direct. I happened to be coming from. I had just finished. I was in my senior year of high school, and I was on my way to a political rally that I had never even anticipated going to, but I was very curious about what is this Black Panther thing. Let me check this out. So I decided to do it myself. The media, of course, had nothing but negative to say, but what I saw in the community contradicted what the media was saying, the vomit stream media. And I was on a bus in Los Angeles, a city transit bus, and for the first time, I actually met some Panthers, young Panthers, I say young, they were my age, but I was young then, and up close and personal had the opportunity to speak with them, and then saw something that I shall always remember. The bus driver pulled the bus over, demanded that they get off the bus. These were very, very respectful. I mean, when I say respectful and disciplined, that's what they were. That's what attracted me to the Black Panther Party. They were respectful. they were disciplined. You didn't hear all this foul language. You know, like today, it's just, oh, my God. I said, I've got to find out what this is about, and if it's what I think it is, I've got to be a part of it. So I joined the party and became a section leader in the party, et cetera, et cetera. I guess the rest is history. Go ahead.
Let me interject here a couple questions. When you saw, I don't know, you're what, 18, 19, somewhere around there at this
18,
time, somewhere?
18, yeah.
Okay.
18.
When you began to listen to the news, and then you began to see other things with your own eyes that they were covering in the news, and you saw the inconsistencies, really lies. I mean, what was going through your mind at that point?
To be, there were two things. One, I was shocked, and two, I was deeply angry. Because I was in the community, I saw what was happening, and I was living at the time not with a brother, but with my cousin. I call him my big brother, though, my big brother cousin, and I was living with him. He came from a very conservative, quote-unquote, politically speaking, background, and we were very, very close. And even he himself was impressed by what he saw, and he realized that what the media was saying totally contradicted what he was seeing firsthand. And remember, he came from a very conservative background.
Did that make you, you know, being you're a black man, you are a black man, did that make you feel like, well, it's black versus whites, or did you feel like it was just the truth against lies, or what kind of, was there racial overtones of this? What went through your mind that way?
Well, I'm glad you phrased it that way, because it what came to my mind was the fact that it was, and still remains, the truth against lies. You know, who was it, the minister of propaganda in the German National Socialist Party, also known as the Nazi Party, said that if you keep on... Goebbels, yes. You keep on just telling the lies over and over and over again, repeatedly, and eventually people start believing it. And I saw that firsthand. So this is something that today, it applies to today as well, what they're doing to the American people, to the president, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think it's going to work this time.
There comes a point, and everybody, probably most people who are listening, maybe new listeners are just joining in. Everybody who's listening goes down this rabbit hole, so to speak, or this alternative way of thinking from the corporate media agenda. They come to a fork in the road where mentally they have to, am I going to go along with the stream here, just go along with the path of least resistance, or am I going to be brave enough to choose this other path? Most people, it doesn't happen when we're 18. For you, when you're 18 years old, there had to be something about you specifically or your family. You said you were living with your cousin. There had to be something about Larry Pinkney and his family that even made that possible, because that's very unusual for an 18-year-old, I would think.
Well, I was raised on the East Coast before going to California and finishing high school and going to college there. Both of my parents were school teachers. And one of the things that, especially my father, inculcated into me was think for yourself. You can disagree with me, but you better damn well be able to back up what you're saying. I want you to think for yourself. I want you to research for yourself. So I was extremely fortunate in that respect, that I had that kind of upbringing. And I too came from a rather conservative back. Again, when I say conservative, I mean politically. Politically speaking, background. But I also believed, even then, even before I knew the term critical thinker, I was already becoming a critical thinker thanks to my upbringing.
Did you? Obviously, schools had to be there. Your parents are school teachers. We're seeing just the opposite in schools. I am. I mean, we're getting a little off on a little tangent, but maybe comment about schools today. I see them as an indoctrination center to stop critical thinking. That's what I see. What are your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, what you've just stated is extremely accurate. I wish it were not, But it is. You know, the reality is that not just grade schools, high school, but it's the same in universities, colleges and universities. Basically, people are indoctrinated with a particular narrative. You think this way. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even call it thinking. They are programmed. You know, like you program a computer. And this is how it's done. It's very insidious. It's very different from the era that I grew up in, or at least in terms of my own parents. My family were consisted of school teachers, farmers, and U.S. military. That was my family background. And no matter what we thought in terms of the injustices that we saw in this country, we were always loyal to this country. Why? Because in the words of Curtis Mayfield, the late, great Curtis Mayfield, this is my country. It's our country. And that's what it needs to be all about. Today, we've got an uphill battle because the young people, be they in their teens or 20s especially, and the millennials are being indoctrinated. And I think you used that word. If you did, yeah, I think you did. And you're absolutely correct.
What was, or give us an idea of the genesis. I don't know if you were there at the very beginning. Maybe you had some contact. You met Huey. What was Huey P. Newton, what was his mindset, his genesis? What was the vision for the Black Panther Party?
The Black Panther Party was essentially built around the concept of, quote, we used to use the expression serving the people. And let me be clear, the Black Panther Party was founded in Oakland, California in October of 1966. I joined the party the following year, 1967. So I was one of the early members, you know, of the party. It spread. The party spread nationally. Now, to get back to your question, or trying to answer your question, Huey, and I'm talking about Huey P. Newton, was truly amazing to me. All right, that's not descriptive enough. He was a thinker. A lot of people, because they had this image of Huey, thought that he was going to come. Oh wow, Huey P. Newton. But then when they met Huey, they saw that basically Huey was extremely intellectual, but he was also a doer. And what a lot of people don't know to this very day is that Huey actually got a Ph.D. from the University of California. Okay, now does that mean that he was did that make him great? No, all I'm saying is that he was a thinker. And people in the party, we believed in serving, we used to say, serve the community body and soul. And it's not just Black community. We had breakfast programs, school programs, medical programs, free, okay? Free. We didn't depend on the government. We did it ourselves. We organized in the community. And of course, this terrified the establishment. Oh my God, the slaves, what's happening? They're revolting. And, you know, this is something that the party was based upon. We used to say, steal not a needle or a piece of thread from the people. Everyday ordinary people. One of the things that I did in the party that I'm honored to have done was I was, for a period of time, I actually served young people breakfast. And I mean literally breakfast, okay? Because we said, these kids have got to stop going to school with hungry bellies. How can you learn anything if your stomach is growling? Just basic common sense things. We also had escort programs for the senior citizens, literally, where we would escort them to their medical appointments, to all kinds of things, to make sure that they were physically safe. We cared about our community.
So hold, let me, so basically, you know, I say I'm a older person, I got to go to my doctor's visit. maybe it's a rough neighborhood or what have you, they would contact Huey or you, or you're the community leader. I mean, how organized? So who would they call? Would they call you because you're the district leader or whatever? And then they'd say, hey, I need to go to my doctor's appointment tomorrow. Can you please escort me? I mean, how did it go?
It was very simple. The bottom line was that too many, and it shouldn't have even been one, but too many senior citizens, and especially in rough neighborhoods, were being attacked. Drugs were everywhere, and we made it clear at our offices, Panther offices throughout the country, that we were going to, we were the ones who put that information out. We put it out in the Black Panther Party paper. We put it out by word of mouth and let senior citizens know that we wanted to them to know that they would be safe in their communities, in our communities. And so we contacted them, and it grew. It grew very quickly. And they appreciated it. And we appreciated them. After all, had it not been for them, we wouldn't have been alive.
Let me, something that's always perplexed, I don't know if perplex is the right word, but just I found fascinating. And especially in the 60s, Black Panthers, people have a certain image. You know, white America has a certain image, and I think they were given that image falsely to a very large degree about what that was. Oh, we got these black people running around doing things. This can't be good. But the concept of independence and doing for your own and all, it wasn't unique to the 60s. I'm fascinated by the time of the late 1800s, early 1900s, where the black communities were very separated, obviously segregation, especially in the South. But the segregation, it wasn't like put in a cage or anything. It was blacks were thriving. Blacks were, fine, well, you want to segregate us? Fine. We will form our own bank. We will help our own communities. Our communities will thrive and so forth and so on. And then the powers that wanted to be, they certainly didn't like that independent spirit, and through a series of things, kind of through drugs, through banking, through whatever, kind of crushed that movement. Were you aware of that? Do you feel that, the kind of, or did you hearken back, hey, 50 years ago, our people did this, why can't we do this again?
Yeah, we studied, okay, what people think don't realize, and it's not their fault, but we studied. We had what we called PE sessions, and I'm not talking about physical education. PE meant political education, where we studied the works of those who had gone before us. For example, the Deacons for Self-Defense in the Deep South, what they were doing. We studied what the churches had done when the churches were real churches, which they unfortunately don't tend to be today. We studied. So we made it a point, and we respected our elders. Okay, and as I say today, as an elder, I may be an elder, but I'm not elderly. We respected them and asked them questions. What about this? What about that? What happened in the 50s or the 40s or the 30s? You were there. Tell us. And this is how we learn. Whereas today, you know, the millennials, 20s, 30s, 40s folks, they figure they know it all. Which is very unfortunate, because no one knows it all. And history is the best teacher, as Brother Malcolm said. History teaches. So this is what the party was about. Now, I'm not saying that the Black Panther Party was by any means perfect. We were humans. We were not. But we sure as heck were not at all what the mainstream, vomit stream media depicted us as being.
Let's get to you personally, maybe the Black Panther Party as a whole. I'm sure they'll integrate. But you personally, you became a target, for what? Why do you think the government, specifically COINTELPRO, what is COINTELPRO and why did they target you?
Well, they made it very clear why they targeted me in my FBI file. They said because of Pinckney's ability to unify black, white, yellow people to unify. That was considered to be a serious threat, which is kind of ironic when you think about it. I mean, really think about it. This is why I was targeted. They said it. by they, the government said it, in writing, in print, okay? This Pinckney must be, quote, neutralized. Neutralized meant imprisoned and or killed. It's very simple.
Let me pause you. I apologize for interrupting you, but I think this is really important. So people are listening. So we don't gloss over this. Elements within the government, within the FBI, within, was it CIA? I don't know, within state mm-hmm. police, what?
Both.
They watched what was going on. They were very intently interested in the Black Panther Party. You can tell me why you think that was. I have my own opinion. And they specifically said, Larry Pinckney has got to go. He's a threat. And then my bigger question is, a threat in what way? A threat to what?
Well, a threat to what better way, as Albert, the French philosopher Albert Camus said, what better way to control a man than to give him a vote and claim that he's free? Okay, you're free now. You can vote. Okay, and Camus was absolutely correct. So we were a threat because we were daring to, one, do for ourselves, for our own communities, and at the same time work with other people. Okay, and when I say other people, I mean people of different colors, different ethnicities. Okay, this was a huge threat, or at least it was perceived as being a huge threat. You would have thought it would have been just the opposite.
We're coming on a break.
J. Edgar. Okay.
Yeah, we're coming on a break. I want to talk about J. Edgar on the other side. So then logically, I'm listening to you because you were having strong independent communities. So then the threat was the government wanted to have weak dependent communities. So the government wants weak dependent communities, especially the Black communities. And so here you are creating strong independent communities and working and unifying people, not separating, divide and conquer along racial lines. Therefore, you're a threat to some agenda. So it's quite frankly, seriously, to the point, you were going against the weak dependent model that the government had for these communities. Yes or no?
Right. And still has today. Yes.
Okay. There you go. There's the music. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More with the one and only Larry Pinckney, thepowerhour.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
It's always fun to be with Larry, and I don't know if, like I told him this during the break, I don't know if intimidating is the word, but you just, I feel almost inadequate. With guests, I try to get them to bring something out about their experience, to really dig deep, to convey that to us and to myself and to the audience. And you almost feel adequate what he's accomplished. I mean, no matter what you think about him, the mistakes, the successes, what have you, what they did, it was unbelievable what they accomplished. And Larry was right in the middle of it and right a part of it and was, as you heard, again, I don't know if that brushed over you, but the FBI file says Larry Pinkney is a direct threat because he has the ability to unify people along racial lines and must be neutralized. That's not his words. It's not my word. That's his FBI file. The FBI said that about Larry Pinkney and what the Black Panthers were doing. Before we get back to Larry, we'll pick up right with J. Edgar Hoover, that bastion of freedom. Make you aware of a few specials over the Power Mall. We thank you for your support. How do you get to hear Larry? Well, by what you're listening on and by your support from the Power Mall. The great products that we have, I pretty much promise you, there's something there that you not only want, but could use and your family could use. Christmas is coming up. December is usually the worst month for us, as you know. I understand. You got Christmas, what have you. Your support has been fantastic so far. We need it. We continue to need it. You understand all the threats we're under. I know as an audience, if you're a new listener, our longtime audience, they understand the significance of this broadcast to be able to have people like Larry. It just doesn't occur. It's just not out there. And have independent media. We don't get checks from George Soros as we get support from you and your donations, your purchases and your prayers are, so important. $5 off when you spend $50. Use the code DEC5, like December 5. DEC5 at checkout or call Jay on that. And if you spend $100 or more, use the code DEC10. And you'll get $10 right off your bill, which is about 10% off any kind of purchase. Also, we have a flash sale, and it's not going to last long. potassium from Grown by Nature, 50% off. Buy one, get one 50% off of the potassium pills from vitamins from Grown by Nature. Grown by Nature is the best out there. We have the multivitamin, you know, the vitamin E, the full spectrum vitamin E, all that of Grown by Nature is magnificent line. They hooked me up with my wife when she was pregnant and got her, you know, all her nutrients. I'm not going to tell it today, but, maybe Kev will have to remind me, tell a story about the baby when it was born and what happened. We had a little mishap and the baby was extremely strong. The midwife could not believe how the baby handled what went on. She was extremely healthy. And I directly attribute it to the Grown by Nature vitamins. Anyway, a new thing, Frank Davis will be here later. I think tomorrow, actually, the super krill oil. Remember, it's not just krill oil, it's super krill oil. And there is a huge difference. The super silver, 10 parts per million. Chaga Max is back. And also Lateral Flora and the Livatrex Global Healing Center, all at the Power Mall on sale, plus all the other great products that we have for you. Thank you for your support, and you're welcome for what we are doing here. Many seasonal products, the toothpaste bundles, the oral health care bundles, the winter flu season bundles for the oregano oil, the silver lozenges, what have you, at thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. Of course, Strauss Heart Drops, Wayne Elliott was here last week, great interview. He'll be coming out again, I think, before Christmas to talk about another product also. So Wayne Elliott for Strauss Heart Drops, it's one of our most profound products, probably the most profound product that we sell, is the Strauss Heart Drops. And what I mean profound, I mean people saying, I had a bypass schedule, surgery scheduled. They were going to cut me open, rip my ribs apart, and then do open heart surgery. And now they canceled it because the Strauss Heart Drops have cleared my arteries so dramatically. That's what I mean by profound. Diabetics, losing feet, what have you. Strauss Heart Drops, what a fantastic product. Over at the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. Getting back to Larry, I know, Larry, you listened to Wayne Elliott's interview last week. Also, you had some comment or question or something.
Yes, speaking of Wayne Elliott, I did have I think it was 3 or 4 days ago, last week, to listen to Wayne Elliott on the program. I was astounded as he talked about, and, you know, I always relate to things personally. What did you experience? And he gave examples of his, not only himself, but his relatives and his friends. And he was talking specifically about the Strauss Heart Drop. And, you know, I said, my God, it really held my attention because it was chock full of information. And that's what I relate to. I always say, be an independent critical thinker. And it gave me the meat and potatoes, figuratively speaking, that I needed to be so enthralled, if you will, by what Wayne Elliott was saying about the Strauss Heart Drop. So
yes.
I'm intrigued, to say the very least.
Well, if you want it, we'll send you a bottle. If you don't have one, you got to put it under your tongue and leave it there for about a minute or so under your tongue. Because that's absorbed directly into your blood. I used to take it. I was taking it wrong at first, and I would drink it in water or whatever. It has to go into the tongue. It's a little strong. But my gosh, the benefits and the things that have happened for people. I mean, one of our good friends, Dave, I'm trying to get him to come on the air sometime. He's a little shy. He had a stroke about 6 or 7 years ago. And in that time, for 6 or 7 years, every time he'd go to the doctor, his blood pressure was never in the good range that the doctor wanted. Never, not once was it like, wow, it's good. Never. Even though the blood pressure medicine, not one time. And he started taking a few months ago, and he called me. He says, I went to the doctor today, Dan, and you know what the doctor said? I said, Dave, I have no idea. I have no idea, Dave. Just tell me. So you got to know Dave. You got to know him. Hopefully he'll be able to come on air. For the first time ever in those 6 or 7 years, his blood pressure was normal.
Wow.
And he went back again, normal again, and then we'll see, get an update the next time he goes back. But, I've seen that for myself, the way it makes me feel. I didn't have, you know, high blood pressure or anything, but I've seen other people, miracles happen, and it's very profound. We'll send you a bottle. Catherine, you're listening. Make sure that we send Larry a bottle. Larry, take it under your tongue. Leave it there for a minute or so, a couple times a day, and then we'll, next time you come on, we'll ask you, you know, what you felt. How do you experience? How does it make you feel? That'll be cool.
Absolutely. 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 I'd be honored. And like, as I said, I'm extremely intrigued. I listen intently to, what you and Wayne Elliott were talking about. And yeah, and as my parents used to say, the proof of the pudding is in the taste. And as we said in the party, you know, as we used to say in the party, action is supreme. So yes, yes, I appreciate it and I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Do you look back now, you know, you talk about what you did, what y'all accomplished, your role in this. You talk about how you suffered. Do you look back now and think, wow, we really did something? Do you proud of that time? Do you have regrets? Do you have no regret? I mean, what goes through your mind when you reflect on this?
Well, to be very, very brutally honest, my feelings are ambivalent. I'm ambivalent about it. I have mixed feelings, okay? Would I do it again? Of course I would. However, when I look at today, and I look at the so many, not all, but so many young people of today, I ask myself, my God, is that what we were fighting for? No. Is that what we were struggling for? No. No. So I have very mixed feelings. Yes, of course I'm humbled and proud of my role. But, you know, it's a situation where our backs are not only, and I say our, I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about people across all color and ethnic backgrounds in this nation, okay, Americans, our backs are not up, but simply just up against the wall. They're trying to plaster us in the wall. So, and of course I'm speaking in metaphorical terms, but, you know, it's like, yes, of course I'm proud, of it. I'm glad. And as I said in the beginning of the show, sometimes I wonder how it is that I'm still alive. I really do.
Well, we all have purposes. Maybe we don't understand or we don't realize, but I certainly believe that with you. There's a quote you made me think of a quote by John Adams, one of our founding fathers. Let me see if I can get this quote here. Posterity, you will never know how much it cost the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. Maybe that's a little how you feel. You know, it's like you don't know the cost. You don't know. You're sitting here looking around and, you know, maybe you're reflecting, was it a waste? Should I not even have tried? I can kind of maybe hear that in your voice a little bit.
Well, yes, it's ambivalent. It's all of those things rolled into one. All of those things. And, you know, it's a sense of joy, but it's also a sense of sadness. It's a sense of sadness, but it's also a sense of determination. I'm here. I've got to do what I've got to do. And they say when you're over the target, that's when you receive flak. And I know nothing has really changed. I look at the Democrats, for example, today, daring to bring up the thing about race when they were the ones from which the Ku Klux Klan emanated. That's where the Klan came from, the Democrat Party. And they dare to talk about racial injustice when they're the biggest hypocrites in this nation. Okay, so the calling for us all, not just for me, but the calling for us all is still there, perhaps more critical or crucial today than ever before in the history of this nation or this republic.
I'm gonna say a quote, or is at least attributed to him. I don't even know if I should say this on air, but you almost got to, you know, if I get a little racially insensitive, I'm gonna say it on air just like LBJ said it. Supposedly there's a quote, in the 60s when they were debating the Civil Rights Act of 64. And I want to know if you, as part of the party, ever heard this or had that rumor, if that, or you had this idea. He said, supposedly LBJ, and you know, if you know anything about LBJ, I believe this. He says, you just let me do this, and I'm going to push through this civil rights, and I'll have these niggers voting for Democrat for the next 100 years. That's what LBJ said.
That's real. I've actually studied the quote, not only the quote, but I've actually, oh, yes. Now, did I know about that when I was in the party? No. It was years later, but it certainly did not come as any surprise. Okay, LBJ.
So did you feel that, you know, I use a strong word. That's what he said, but I didn't want to lose, you know, sometimes we say the N word, we lose the impact, we lose the context of what they were thinking of how little they thought of your race there in those communities. And so I just wanted to say it. So you had the concept that LBJ was just a, you know, a whatever. I don't know. What did you think?
Well, quite frankly, I had the concept that LBJ was just another politician. I had no idea of how insidious LBJ was. I was not an admirer of him. I remember the slogan when LBJ was running for re-election. The slogan was LBJ for the USA. I remember that slogan well. Okay. My point is, the more I studied, and the more I found out and researched, I realized this guy was demonic. He wasn't alone, by the way, but he was demonic. Hell, excuse my language here, but, you know, Barack Obama was and is demonic. And I do mean demonic, okay? Liar, hypocrite, just demonic. And unfortunately, the vast majority of the Democrat Party has not gotten better. It's gotten worse, more insidious, more insidious. That's why they're doing these insane things that they're doing. I get very passionate about this, you know, but anyway, go ahead, my brother.
Let's go back to, I would definitely want to talk about present day and what you see this impeachment, which is just, you know, I've called it a goat rodeo or flea circus, but J. Edgar Hoover, you were mentioning J. Edgar Hoover, maybe in context of what happened to you and how they came after you. Go ahead, pick up there, if you would.
Well, J. Edgar Hoover made it very clear that the Black Panther Party, he said the threat, he actually said this, look it up, Google it, find out, that, in fact, the threat of the Black Panther Party was not from any gun. How could the party stand up to the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, CIA, FBI? Of course not. He said that the threat was that the party was, quote, winning the hearts and minds of the people through their breakfast programs. You see, we had breakfast programs, free breakfast programs, for primarily for kids, but for anyone who came in, okay, to, and when I say came in, I don't mean into to join the party. I mean came in to eat, and it was good food. So people need to remember that. We all need to remember that. And Hoover said this. Winning the hearts of the and minds of the people through their breakfast program. That's deep.
It is deep. How did they come after you and maybe a little bit about your experience there?
Well, essentially what they did with me, all around me, my friends and colleagues were either being set up, framed, killed, imprisoned. And, you know, I was no different. Perhaps only in the sense of being articulate. I was very articulate and could express
and
not
still
only
are.
Well, thank you. But you know, could express the objectives, the goal, the vision, and that was considered a threat. And so the FBI primarily, but it wasn't just the FBI. It was across the board. And I might say the media, please people remember, the media hasn't changed. What they're doing now is what they've always done. That's why I call it the vomit stream media. Anyway, when I was set up, and Joyce Riley and I used to talk about this quite frequently, how they set me up was by simply bringing about any kind of heinous charge that they could, because people would look at the charge, not the reality, not the facts. You remember the episode of Dragnet where Sergeant Friday would always say, Just the facts, ma'am. I love that. Just the facts. Well, they've got us so programmed today, and even back then in the 60s and 70s, etc., that we tend not to look at the facts when that's the very thing we should be looking at. Sort of reminds me of the show that followed the yellow brick road.
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, where they say, pay no attention to the man or woman behind the curtain, when in fact that's exactly what we should be paying attention to.
Let's go up to present day. There's a couple, major things that we've talked about recently. Obviously, the impeachment, we'll get to that. Let's first talk about Roger Stone. You've talked to Roger relatively recently. Randy Short, your friend, is close contact with Roger. Tell us your feelings about that whole case, talking to him, and also why this is bigger than just Roger Stone.
Right, and thank you for putting that out there. The fact of the matter is, and I make no bones about it, I may be very, very brutally candid. I have deep respect for Roger Stone. In fact, you can say I love him as a brother. All right? Roger Stone stood up for people of all colors, but they tried to paint him as just the opposite. Now, the fact is, let's be blunt. The fact is that they brought these nefarious, inaccurate, untrue, ridiculous charges against Roger. Why? Because he was an advisor to President Trump. And President Trump was successful in 2016. We all know that. So there, it's about a vendetta. It is continues to be a vendetta. These people are insane, amoral, not immoral, amoral, or not merely immoral. Okay, Roger, and I do speak, to him, with him on the phone from time to time, and I do my utmost to encourage him, to let him know. Roger said to me repeatedly, Larry, now I know what blacks were going through in the 20s and 30s, etc. And my response to Roger is, we're all in this together, my brother, whether we like it or not, as we used to say in the party. And we have an obligation. Go online. There are petitions. We want the White House to pay attention to Roger, to support Roger, to pardon Roger. Please check it out. Pardon Roger Stone. But we've got to understand that it's not just about Roger. It's about all of us. What these monsters are doing to Roger is what they have in store for all of us. And I am not exaggerating. Go ahead.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you, maybe a little different from what you just said. The fact that they were able to do this to Roger, what does this say? They have a vendetta. So who has a vendetta? The whole government has a vendetta. They have a vendetta. They're able to use the levers of government, the Department of Justice at the highest level, obviously, to attack this guy and do a hatchet job on him. What does this say about the level that we're at, the desperate situation we're at? Because it sounds pretty serious.
Serious, and that's why I'm emphasizing or attempting to emphasize the fact that it is affecting all of us directly, not just indirectly, but directly. Everything they are doing and have done to Roger Stone, and even to the president. You know who they're really doing it to? They're doing it to us. Everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. We need to understand that. U.S. citizens, we are in grave peril. The Republic is in grave peril, and the only ones who can stand up to this, I don't mean to be on a soapbox here, but the only ones are we, individual, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Okay? As much respect that I have for the president, and I do, the fact is that it really comes down to us. The buck stops with us, everyday ordinary people. We are not powerless unless we allow ourselves to be powerless.
I've said several times on this show, a lot, and I'll say it several more, and I believe it very strongly, that this time that we're in, the future is going to be won by conviction. Conviction is king, and if we have the right conviction, the right mindset, then we'll win. If we don't, we're going to lose. I think it's that. I think conviction will win out now. Your thoughts about that?
We absolutely must have conviction. Okay? The expression we used to use in the party as we were being set up and framed and thrown in prison and murdered, we used to say, I was convicted for my convictions. Think about that.
Wow.
Okay? And what I'm trying to point out, and I agree with that, we must have convictions without having, what do we believe in? Do we believe in this republic? Does that mean that we think we're perfect? By no means. Does that mean we have not made mistakes? By no means. But it means that this is our republic. This is our country, okay? And we will not allow it to be taken away or subverted as the Democrats and certain rhino Republicans are trying to do. We must have convictions. Without convictions, without strong, not only beliefs, but independent critical thinking, then we have nothing.
Let me ask you, we got about a minute or so left. You, of course, when I think of conviction, when I think of America, when I think of a republic, I think of the Declaration of Independence. We talk about it a lot on this broadcast. How important is the Declaration of Independence to you and the Bill of Rights?
Well, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and quite frankly, the preamble, read it. I'm sure you have. But I'm saying go back and we should all go back and read the preamble. It's extremely important.
There's the music. It's been a pleasure talking to you today, Larry. It's an honor, really. I don't even know what word I want to use. I respect and admire you so much. I love you for coming on the broadcast, for all that you've done. I can learn so much from you. You should be respected. You should be honored. And that's what we do here. And so God bless you. We've got about 10, 15 seconds. Last word is yours, my friend.
God bless you. God bless the crew. God bless this nation, this republic. Love you. Carry on. Carry on. We must do that. At stake is everything.
We'll talk to you soon, my friend. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
Happy,
you.
Healthy, successful, and free, just as God intends you to be. See you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle Tuesday,